just for Christ. Global Community Church. Pastor Ben got me on that. So praise God.
93 people.
And we are Global Community Church. People getting a hold of me from Africa today. Like, wow. So I'm going to kill my phone. Not literally, but it's got to go. Because people there we are. Okay. So let's we're just here today by ourselves, so this is kind of cool. Kind of like minus the COVID days. Which some people think we're out of them, but we're not completely out, you people. I'm telling you, the flood started and it will this thing is going to play itself out completely.
Yep.
So I want to pray in first. And then today is a Bible study day. So if you have your notes, wherever you're at, whoever's out there, I hope you have your notes. I'm going to try to have Pastor Ben follow me with the notes so that you can understand the Bible study tonight. Hey, Gary, make sure Gary has some notes. And so, because it's very important that I teach tonight, what needs to be learned. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't understand where we are, I'm getting too many people saying, hey, this person says this and this person says that. And I'm like, no, I want you to understand the Bible. That this isn't right. That's not correct. So I want you guys to understand tonight where we are as far as history is concerned. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, I tried to give you a complete understanding of the fig tree, because we got people coming in saying, oh, the fig tree is not really Israel. Or even a Jewish guy's on TV, Lion and Lamb Ministry, which I suggest you never listen to Lion and Lamb's ministry. All you gotta do is call them and ask them about the rapture, and you will know that is not a ministry to follow. Just because there's a guy on there named Monty Judah, sounds really good, doesn't it? But he has, but he's on there and he's got his long beard and he looks Jewish and is very, but he's not, okay? He's pseudo-Hebraic intelligence because he talks about a lot of crazy stuff and I would go, where did he get that from? So anyway, and I say that stuff real cautiously because I don't want anybody thinking I think I'm more intelligent than I am. But I do want people to know that there is a way to study the Bible. There is a guideline to studying the Bible. There is a truth in the Bible. And everybody that comes on and has a long beard and says, oh, they know all this Hebrew stuff. No, I'm listening to what you say. And if it doesn't line up with the Bible, I'm not with you anymore.
Amen.
Okay. Before we get started, I only have two letters, and I want to make sure that I thank the people for sending it, because someone sent me a thank you so much with to keep barking, because we're the dog, you know, the dog pound over here. We are barking until the rapture happens.
Amen.
And so I just want to thank, it is Melanie Bailey, and she lives in, it looks like Waverly Hall, Georgia. I'm so thankful. Can I read this, Pastor Ben?
Thank you. Okay.
She didn't tell me I could read it. I'll read it as much as I can. I'll be wise. Dear S4C family and Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, I want to thank you for the beautiful Bible you sent to me. I loaned it. She says, I love it. Yeah, sorry. That's my. It says, I love it. I look forward to getting to hear y'all, and I'm so thankful for each one of you and your loved ones and your love for him. I am so thankful to have found you, Pastor Sandy, on YouTube and I love your messages from our Lord. I love getting to hear you and Pastor Ben too. God, dynamic duo. That's me and Pastor Ben. Much love to you for all your work in him. Melanie Bailey down here in Georgia. When she said y'all, I knew she was from Georgia.
Oh yeah.
I love what y'all doing. I love. Thank you, man. Thank you so much, Melanie. I love the card. I'm gonna have to add this one when my space is missing up there. Okay, now we have one more letter, and this is from Carlene Wright, who goes by Carly. And she says, I watch your program all the time and I really enjoy watching it. And I am learning as much as possible. Thank you so much for such a wonderful pastor. I have a prayer request for her. And then she gives the names of the prayer requests and the things. So I'm not going to. And we got that, right? So I'm not going to get too deep in that. But Carly, I want to thank you so much for writing, and thank you everyone for your writing and for people who are contacting me on Facebook or even by phone. I've talked to a few people this past week, Pastor Ben. Okay, I'm going to pray and then we're going to get started, okay? This is a Bible study night, all right? I want everybody to know. We're going to take your time and we're going to find out exactly why the world is in trouble. And the Lord told me today, the evidence is all around us. Everybody should be on alert because there's evidence all around us. And so if you see the evidence and what's going on, you'll pay attention that the world is almost at an end time spot. So let me pray. Let's bow our heads. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we want to thank you today, Father God, for your word. We want to thank you, Father God, for all of our members all around the world, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the new members, Father God, that are joining, like seems like daily and weekly. And I just pray, Father God, to be able to reach just the world, Father God, with the gospel so that they understand that you're coming, that you're coming for your church and you're coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle, and that you're coming, Father God, and that we need to be ready and prepared for your coming. We thank you, Father God, for this evening. Thank you for your word. I pray, Father God, understanding over the ears as I take my time and teach what you have given me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The whole world is based on the nation of Israel. Everything is based on Israel. The whole Bible is based on the nation of Israel, okay? So if you want to know what's going on in the world, you really have to study what has happened in Israel, what is going on in Israel now, to understand the Bible so that you understand the truth of the Bible and the truth of who God is. Because if you've watched Israel, you can see the hand of God moving as it guides Israel through its history. On Sunday, I gave you guys an explanation of why Israel is the fig tree. Because Jesus says, learn a lesson from the fig tree, okay? And when you see its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Because he's letting you know that, and I've talked to you before, Kets, and you know that summer is near, so the end is near. Summer and end is the same thing. So, as you're learning this, you're understanding that Israel is the fig tree. The next thing I wanted you to know, that not only is Israel the fig tree, but Israel had a date established for them to reappear back into the earth as a nation, and that reappearance back into the world as a nation would be called the fig tree and would also be called the last generation. In 1948, we entered that last generation. That means that the world has been on a countdown since the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And so, as the countdown has been continuing, we've watched the history of Israel, and we've watched all the things that Israel is going through. And if you study what's going on there and what God has brought them through, you'll see God's hand in his word, and you'll understand that you're living in the last days. We're going to study from the paper today. This is the page. And this study is about the last generation. Since we are living only a few months away from the 2,520 days, and which makes up the tribulation, and since we're only, I don't know, very short time before the appearance of the Lord and the rapture of the church, we need to know and understand that God has already laid this out for us. So we're going to, I want you to be able to understand it clearly, okay? The first thing I want you to understand is Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. And I think I should go there. Let me drink some water, my wife would say. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. And it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, God is talking to Daniel, okay? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. Okay, so this letter, or this description is he's talking to Daniel, and he's saying, thy people. So who are Daniel's people? The Jewish nation. So he said, this is a prophecy I'm speaking to your people, Daniel, right? To thy people. And it is also a prophecy about your holy city, okay? And this prophecy is a prophecy to finish transgressions. That means all transgressions in the world will be done when I'm done with this prophecy. To make an end of sin. When this prophecy is done, sin will be done with in the world. There'll be no more sin, okay? To make a reconciliation for iniquity. And Jesus did that on the cross. So that's been done. To bring an everlasting righteousness. So when this prophecy is done, righteousness will be an eternal thing in the earth realm, okay? And to seal up the vision of the prophecy. And so all the prophecies will have been done and finished with when this prophecy is done. And the last thing he says, and to anoint the most holy, which means to the presence of God will come and live in the holy of holies in the temple, which will be rebuilt by Jesus in Jerusalem. So why isn't this a religion and why is this reality? Because the events that are being talked about have happened in the earth, and there are now historical moments that have happened. So, years is a generation, and 70 years has been established as a generation throughout the whole Bible. The first 70 generations that you get established to you, of course, is the death of Adam, when Adam dies and he's 930 years old. If he had lived 70 more years, he had been 1,000 years, and that would have been a day unto the Lord's 1,000 years, but he died at 930, and God made sure he did, because the 70 years is the generation unto a man. So now a 70 years is a generation to all men, okay? So how do we know that 70 years? Because God is going to show you throughout his scriptures and throughout history that when the 70th year comes, he fulfills the generational prophecies, okay? So, the meaning of the number 70 is 70 has a secret meaning, if you're reading your notes, in the Bible that is made up of the factor of two perfect numbers. Okay, 7, which represents perfection or spiritual perfection, and 10, which represents a perfect order, or it says representing completeness and God's law, but it represents perfect order. Okay, so as much as it symbolized perfect spiritual order is what 70 is about. So God made 70 his number for perfect spiritual order. So 70 is the number that God has given when he says, this generation will experience this. It will be 70 years. So we're going to look at that today as we study this, because it's very important that you understand this. Now, when he says to Daniel, 77s have been determined for your people, he's saying 70 times 7. That means 70 7-year periods, because a week of years, the Jews have a week of days, but they have a week of years, a week of, so they have a week of years, okay? And so when he says one Shavua, it means 1 week, he's saying 1 7-year period. So now he's prophesied 70 7-year periods are going to happen for you and your people, okay? Now, to understand this, you have to understand that the 70 year had a beginning count and it has an ending, okay? So the 70 years, let me go to the, because I want you to understand this. I can't leave you not understanding this, okay? So he says, the anointed one, it says, know and understand that from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 77s and 62 sevens. So 7 sevens and 62 sevens is 69 sevens. So when the anointed ruler comes, he's saying 69 of the 70 weeks will be gone. So that means 483 of the years that he's prophesying about will be gone when Jesus comes. Because he says when the anointed ruler comes, 69 of the 70 years will be done away with. When did it start? It started back in Nehemiah chapter 2 when he gave a decree for Nehemiah to go back and build Jerusalem. Okay, so it started from that period. And if you count it from that, I think 445 BC, all the way up to the time of Jesus Christ, you'll see that it was actually 483 years to the day that Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem on the donkey, because he established that day. Now remember, Jesus is the one that told them to go get the donkey. Jesus is the one that got on the back, and he's the one that had them ride him through, showing himself to be king. And the people on the side of the road were saying, you know, like all hail the king, Jesus. And they're making Jesus to be their king. And all the people, and they're telling them to tell your apostles to stop this. These people are making Jesus king. Jesus created that day because he knew that 69 of the 70th years was finished on that day. So now, for 490 years, when it was set, we get to the 483rd year, and Jesus comes in on the donkey, and now it's 69 have been completed. Okay? So you're saying, Pastor Sandy, since that 483 years and we're living in 2021, you mean 7 years hasn't passed? 7 years has passed. A lot of years have passed, but Jesus does one thing. And I'm gonna see if I can find it, because I didn't really mark this for today, but the Holy Spirit's given it to me. And I'm hoping it's in, the triumphal entry. Here it is. Okay. So he says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay. So Jesus comes into the town. It says, when he came near the place where the road went down Mount Olive to the whole crowd of disciples, they began to joyfully and to praise God in a loud voice, because they had seen all the miracles that he had done. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. This is what the people are saying. Peace in heaven and in the highest. And then some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Why? Because they're making Jesus king. Jesus is making himself king because he knows that this is the end of 69 of the 400 and of the 70 weeks. So he says to them, some of the Pharisees, he says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And he approached Jerusalem and saw the city. He wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. So now God puts a blinder on Israel, and he says, you had the opportunity to accept your Savior, but now since you rejected it, now it's blinded from your eyes. Meaning that God is going to now turn his face toward the Gentiles, and Israel will get their last 7 years, because 483, they're owed how many? 490. There's a 7 year period that is owed to the nation of Israel that God promised them that they have not received yet. So therefore, God has placed aside a 7 year period for the nation of Israel. You have to understand that to understand the whole plan and why there's a 7 year tribulation. Because if the 70 years belongs to Israel, that means God can't be dealing with the church and Israel at the same time. So that means he has to do something with the church to get the church out of here, so now he can get back to dealing with Israel. And that's what God has planned to do. So let's continue to study this. Now, the number 490, if you could show this, Pastor Ben, on the front page, 490 is the numerical value for the word Bethlehem, which means what? The house of bread, right? That's where Jesus is born, right? So then the word nativity, what does nativity mean? Birthing, right? The birthing or the beginning of a birthing process. So it says my nativity also has the numerical value of 490. Okay, so understanding this, that the prophecy that Daniel gave, that Daniel gave, which was 490, God made sure in his gematria, Bethlehem is 490, and my nativity or my birth, 490. Because this 490 is being marked by this coming of the Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, and also his birth. Now, I want us to, at the bottom of the first page, I want to read it here. It says, truly I tell you this, all this will come upon this generation. Look, your house is left desolate. Now that's in Matthew chapter 23. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. You done, Pastor? Listen to what I'm saying here. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23, has a talk with the Pharisees. And he's explaining to them what is about to happen to the temple. And he's angry with them because of what they've done in their history, killing the prophets. So it says here, and so upon you, in verse 35, and upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Then Jesus says, I tell you the truth. All this will come upon this generation, okay? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I've longed to gather you gathered together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not ready. And it says, or not willing. And it says, look, your house, the temple of God, the temple said, look, your house has been left desolate. Okay. So he tells them, but he does more than that. He says, look, your house is left desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they're going, now he goes down here in verse 24, and Jesus leaves the temple. He's walking away, and they come to him, and Jesus, and they bring his attention to the temple. And Jesus says, do you see all these things? And he answered, I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. So Jesus is telling them, your temple is about to be destroyed. But when did he say? He said, all this is going to come on this generation. This temple is going to be destroyed, and not one stone is going to be left on top of the other. Okay? So, when was the temple destroyed? 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. Now, Jesus says, this generation, this is going to come upon your people. Your temple is going to be destroyed. But he uses the word in this generation, and it's the Greek word genea, which means the birth, a nativity. So he's saying, from my birth, my nativity, this generation, this 70 years that's coming, he's saying, this temple is going to be destroyed and every stone is going to be turned over. 70 AD comes. The temple is destroyed. Every stone is turned over. As I put at the bottom of the second page, that you can go to Flavius Josephus, who describes the destruction of Jerusalem, okay? And every stone, Titus, the Arch of Rome, celebrated the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and they turned over every stone, just as it says. Now, this picture that we have on the side of our church is a picture of the Hakotel HaMaravi, the Western Wall, okay? In that temple of God used to be behind that wall. And this is where every Jew comes to pray for all of their holidays. Why? Because they know that the temple used to be behind those walls. But it was destroyed, and the Roman general said, turn over every stone until you retrieve every piece of gold. So they turned over every stone just as Jesus said it would happen. And in 70 AD, it was destroyed exactly when God said it was. So that was a 70-year prophecy, but it wasn't the first generation 70-year prophecy that God gave. There were many in the Old Testament. God told them this is going to happen in 70 years, and everything always happened in 70 years.
Yeah.
Let's continue. I'm going to be on this page right now, Pastor Ben.
Okay, thank you. I see a picture of the wall to the Facebook page.
Praise God. It says, from the birth of Jesus to the end of the generation, 70 AD, that temple was destroyed. Now, I'm going to read to you a scripture from Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation. So Joseph, when he entered into Egypt, it says he died and all of his brothers died in that generation. Okay, so if we find out when they died, we know how long a generation was, right? Because it uses the word generation. Okay, so all of Joseph's brothers, Joseph's brothers and Jacob came to Egypt when Joseph was 39. Joseph died when he was 110. So Joseph died when he was 70, 71. But it says, but all of his generation died in that generation. All the generation that came into Egypt died before Joseph. And it says that means that 70 years, they had all died. So if Joseph died when he was 71, that means all of his brothers and everyone that came all died before Joseph died, and Joseph was 71. So that generation of 70 years, it's telling you in Exodus, 70 years is a generation. And so they all died in that generation. Now, I want you to understand something. One generation is 70 years. The birth of Israel, the fig tree, or the fig tree generation will not pass until, this is what Jesus says, the fig tree generation will not pass until when? Until he comes in the clouds, in glory, back to the earth and rescues the nation of Israel. He's saying, look, when Jesus comes for his second coming, that's when the last 7 years will be over. And so when he comes in the cloud and he rescues Israel and he destroys the nations, that's when the last 7 years will have been completed. So now you're looking at, what is the end of the generation? When was Jesus supposed? Because if this is true, and Jesus says this generation will not pass till all of this happens, then that means in that 70-year period, that was supposed to happen. We're going to look at that again. Now it says here, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22, it says, so that in the generations to come, and I'm reading in English, okay? Because if I was reading it in Hebrew, it would sound like this. So in the last generation of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of the land and the sickness which the Lord has laid upon it. So he says, in the last generation, okay, because it uses the Hebrew word, in the L'dor HaAcharon, and that means the terminal last generation, strangers will come and see the land, and they will say, what happened here? Why was the Lord so angry that this land is completely desolate and dry? That's what they'll say. So he said, but this is going to happen when? In the last generation, okay? Now we get to Psalms 48, which we all know. Psalms is the 19th book. The 48th chapter talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. When did the rebirth nation of, when did Israel get rebirthed? 1948. But I already explained to you on Saturday all the ramifications of 1948, right? So you know the whole Bible is set on 1948. Jesus' birth is set for 1948 years. So Israel being birthed 1948 years after Jesus' birth. You know that the creation of Adam brought forth Abraham. So that's the 1948. The 5,708 verse of the Torah is the year 1948. So all of this is telling you that the Bible is saying the pivotal year for everything to happen in the world is going to be 1948. Even the fact that Eve is numerical value is 19, and the gospel that saves us is 48 constellations is 1948. There's 48 constellations to save you from what happened with the 19. So 1948 is the premier. It is the main focus of the whole Bible, that this is when everything will happen and this is when the end will begin in 1948. Okay, and now in Psalms 48, which is, you know, 19 book, 48 chapter, it says this: so that in the last generation of your children, let me go to the next page here.
Are you on this page?
Oh, huh? Yeah, but I'll read it from the book. Okay. So, in Psalms 48, in the 13th verse, it says this: consider well her ramparts. Because he's saying now Israel is reborn in 1948. So he says, walk around it. Walk around Israel. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon. To what? To the last generation. So when Israel is rebirthed in Psalms 48, God says, when you see this happening, walk around the ramparts. View the citadels, and so that you may go and tell it to the last generation. Not the next generation, bad English. Not the following generation, bad English. Okay? In the Lador HaAcharon, in the terminal, last generation, you're going to see Israel being rebirthed. Now, mark well her ramparts, consider her place, that you may go and tell it to the last generation. Israel, a barren desert until 1948. Now listen to this. just to prove the fact, okay? Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 3. You guys know what that's all about? God tells Ezekiel to come and look at this, at the land of Israel. And he says, what do you see? And he says, dry bones, yeah. A valley of dry bones. And he asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he says, they're exceedingly dry. They have no life in it. He said, but can they live? God was prophesying to Ezekiel that even though it seemed that Israel was gone and completely dead and the land was done, that he was going to revive it and bring life back into the land of Israel. And he did it in 1948. So when did the twigs get tender? 1947. Who announced that they would get the land back in 1947? The UN. In Psalms 47, which is 1947, it says that the world leaders are going to meet and make a decision for the people of Abraham. So therefore, God is marking out 1948 as the premier year that everything will come to its conclusion. Okay? Now, Jesus says, When you see Israel rebirth, the fig tree, know and understand this, that everything that I just told you will happen in this generation. In what generation? The generation from 1948 till the time I come to the earth on a cloud will conclude the generation from the birth of Israel to me coming back to the earth will be that generation. Okay. I could give you more 70 years that were concluded, and I want you to look at them, because I want you to know that 70 years has always happened exactly when God said. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 24. The Lord showed me, and there was two baskets of figs, right? So he's showing him that the two baskets of figs is Judah and Jerusalem. So when Jesus says these fig trees, if you read Jeremiah, you have no problem understanding that Jesus is talking about Israel. Because in Jeremiah chapter 24, he says the good figs and the bad figs are like Jerusalem and the people of Judah, okay? So he's referring to the figs as Israel. So we could go on completely with that, but Israel is the fig tree. Now that Israel is the fig tree, this is the next thing I need to conclude. It says in Isaiah chapter 32, number one, 70 years. In Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, and it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will turn to her hire and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. So God was making a judgment against Tyre and saying they are going to begin to disobey me, but in 70 years I'm going to return and destroy them. So after God gave this prophecy, exactly 70 years, Tyre was destroyed. So, and then you could study that in the history and you'll see from the time of the prophecy to the time Tyre was destroyed was 70 years. And it says it here. Now, Exodus, of course, said all of the family died in that generation, and they all died before Joseph turned 71, or before he died at 71. In Jeremiah 25:11, and this world, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. These nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Now, when 70 years ended, you'll see Daniel praying and saying it's almost time for the 70 years, and it's almost time for so the 70 year prophecy of them in Babylon happened exactly in 70 years. Then Matthew 23:36, verily I tell you, all these things will come upon this generation. What generation? The generation that sees the temple destroyed. And when did it happen? 70 AD. So that happened. So then Jesus comes to Matthew chapter 24, verse 34, and he says, verily I say to you, this generation, what generation? The fig tree generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now we have a problem, because it's been 70 years since Israel came back into the land. A matter of fact, they celebrated what? Their 73rd birthday this year? So we're looking at Israel has already been back in the land for a full generation. So now we go to Psalms chapter 90, verse 10. And in the Hebrew, I wish that we could read it in the Hebrew, because the Hebrew is telling you why it's going to be 80 years. Now, if 70 is seven is perfect spiritual order, and 10 is perfect order, and 7 is spiritual perfection, so 70 is the year for that God chose for the generation, then 80 has to have a significance too, because 80 is the 8 is the number of what? new beginnings. Okay? So it's not going to be 70 generations. It's going to be 80, but 80 is a number for new beginnings. It's the pay of the Hebrew. It takes place in Esther, and all the 17 books are pay books, which is for the beginning of the of something new. Okay, so in Psalms 90, God wants to explain it to you, because all of us were sitting here in 2017, 2018, and we were saying one thing. It's the end of the 70th year generation, so we know that the rapture is about to happen now. Then there was no rapture, and then we said, okay, Psalms 90, verse 10. Now, okay, I'm listening to the Lord because I want to know which one. Okay, he says, do this one first. Okay, I'm not crazy. That really happens, okay? So, in Psalms 90, verse 10, it says, the days of our years are 70 years, or 70 and 10. 70 is 20, 20, 20, and 10. That would be 70, okay? So the days of our years are 70 years. But if by reason of strength, and that's an English word, they be 80, which is 80 years, yet is their strength labor? Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it soon cuts off and we fly away. So the Hebrew says, because of their rahav, their arrogance and pride, they will have amel, which is trouble, and avon, wickedness and sorrow. So that 7 years that they're going to spend is going to be spent with what? Sorrow. Now, so instead of it being 70, God added another 10 years. So what's going on with the 3 years that were in between? Raul Rodriguez sent me something, and I have to show it to you guys. Let's go to Luke chapter 13, I believe.
10 minutes, Pastor.
Okay, that's perfect. Ooh, Pastor Ben. Now, no, we got to do this tonight, because we can do this tomorrow too as well. Okay. It's called, okay, now, this is when Jesus curses the fig tree. I even wrote his name, Raul Dominguez. He sent me this revelation that God gave him. Now, 1917 was the end of 6,000 years. At the end of 6,000 years, Jesus should have had something coming to him, because he had already worked a full work week for a Jewish man.
2017 or 19?
2017. In 2017 was the end of 6,000 years, and Jesus should have received something for that time. So he goes to this, and here it is. Let's read this. It says, now there were some present at the time. No, that ain't what part I want to read. Sir replied, okay, here it is. Verse 6. It says, okay, then he told this parable. Listen to this parable that Jesus is about to tell. He says, a man had a fig tree. Who's the fig tree?
Israel.
Planted in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but it did not find any. He said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years, 17, 18, 19, right? For 3 years. Now I have come to look for fruit on this fig tree. and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, Jesus is telling this parable. Leave it alone one more year. Okay? So, 17, 18, 19, 20 comes and he says, it hasn't produced anything, cut it down. He says, leave it alone one more year.
2021.
And he says this, if you leave it alone, he said, sir, the man replied, leave it alone one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it, and if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So why did Jesus go and curse the fig tree and all of this stuff? This is a parable he's telling. This is a parable that Jesus is telling. The word of God is prophecy. What is this linked to? For what 3 years did he come looking for fruit on that tree? Was it the 3 years of his ministry? Because then he didn't cut down. Or is it the 3 years after the last Jubilee of 2017? And he says, 18, will Israel repent? 19, will Israel repent? 17, 18, 19, no. 3 years I've come looking for something on this tree. And it still has. He says, sir, leave it alone one more year. For 2020, and then if not, in 21, then cut it down. Now, that was a revelation that God gave to Raul, okay? And I said, I'm going to have to look at that because that appears to fit the scenario because Jesus is buried in the ground after he dies on the cross, he's buried in the ground. 3 years later, he's resurrected, okay? The Holocaust happens until 1945, but 45, 46, 47, 48, then 48, they went back into the land, right? So it seems to be this 3 year gap before the action happens. But he says, no, not just 3 years, he says, after the 3 years is over, wait one more year and give me time. And then, so I'm like, the only thing it fits is what?
That's the only thing it fits.
So why would Psalms 20:21 say, this is the year to ascend, not the year of the ascent. Psalms 20:21 says, or 121 says, the year of, the year to ascend, okay? And then you get the whole series of Psalms explaining to you every year in the tribulation, from mid-trib to the building of the temple, to the mid-trib, to the coming of Christ, to the children of Israel coming back to Israel, and the strong man returning and having his own children. So it's all laid out for us in the scriptures, but if you don't understand that 70 years was promised, and that 70 years was over, and then that 70 years has always been fulfilled right on time. So now, if you're not watching the word of God, you're gonna say, yeah, but we don't believe that the 80 years will be fulfilled in the time Jesus says. Well, that would be foolish, because I just read to you 5 different times that Jesus fulfilled the 70-year prophecies. And now he gives one and says 70, but it will be 80 because of their pride and their arrogance, and they will have sorrow, and then they will fly away. So someone asked me, how is it that Israel is going to fly away? They don't get raptured. The tribulation saints get raptured. That's all what I've been trying to teach since 2017. This is why I don't believe in a Rosh Hashanah rapture, because the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles is set for the end of tribulation, those feast days to be fulfilled at the very end. So, for everyone that doesn't understand, there's about 7 years left on this prophecy that Jesus gave, that he will be coming on a cloud. seven of the next year, seven of a complete 2,520 days, which is 7 years, will occur very soon, but the church is scheduled not to be here. So when you start reading about all the stuff that they're planning on doing, the new Delta virus and all this stuff and the door-to-door and all this stuff, you've got to understand you won't be here. Because the word of God, Jesus Christ, has said Israel is going to experience their 7 years. And the church has to leave, because if the church doesn't leave, then Israel can't get its last 7 years, which it has been promised. Remember, they only used up 483 of their years, and God promised them 490. God is going to fulfill the last 7 years with Israel in the tribulation, and the church must leave, and how perfect the setting is. Praise God.
Amen.
All right.
Beautiful.